Let me read the 34th Psalm, verses 1 through 6. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The verse we're going to look at is the first part of verse 5. Look unto him. They looked unto him and were lightened or enlightened. Now this one phrase reminds me of several other phrases. One of them is found in Isaiah 45. And verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me. And then back in our text, look, they looked unto him, unto God, unto me, unto Christ, and were lightened. And the other passage is found, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. Now, to look unto Jesus, to look at our God the Father through God the Son, enabled by God the Spirit, could be understood as to be quickened. To look unto God, to look unto Christ, it could be to be quickened. Or it could also be enlightened, which that's what the word is in our text. Or to be made more like Christ, to be conformed to his image. So whether you're here this morning and you know the gospel, or whether you don't know the gospel, I can boldly say to you and to me and to anyone who's listening in, look unto Christ. Look unto Christ. So I address each and every one here today. Are you redeemed? I beseech you to look unto him. Are you yet without Christ, without hope? I implore you to look unto Christ, who alone has done all things required for our salvation, full and free. We're going to look at him in four ways. Look unto Christ. Look unto They looked unto me and were lightened. So if you look unto Christ, if you're enabled to look unto Christ, he will give you light. He will give you light. So we're going to look at, implore you to look unto Christ four different ways. At his life, at his death, at his resurrection, and look unto him in his return. So the first point, first off, let me draw our attention to looking unto Christ as he lived or in his life. Now, I know me and I know you to some extent because we all have Adam's sin nature. We are plagued by sin internally. At every turn, whether within or without, you look at what's going on in this world, not just this world, every country, you see depravity. You look within and you say, that which I would, I can't do. We get discouraged. We get upset. But I say, and I tell you to look to Christ in his life. Who could it be said but of Christ? He was always, always about his Father's business. Who could it be said but the Lord Christ as a child, that he was that holy seed in Mary's womb? It's not said of Mary. It's not said of Mary. It's not said of Joseph. It's not said of anyone but our Lord Christ. Who can it be said to have cast aside every foul temptation that the wicked one threw at him? When he was up at that mountain, says, "You worship me and I'll give you all this. Don't tempt the Lord your God." Who is it said regarding the sovereign Savior, never a man spake like this man? It was said of no one that I know of. Oh, then I entreat you who are struggling hard with sin, either without or within, to look to him who was pure and perfect from the womb to the grave. Never a sin, never a foolish thought, but always and only did that which his Father was pleased with as he came, those words spoken from heaven. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Look unto him in his life. Oh, I exhort you, you who are alive this morning, yet dead in your trespasses and sins, who know nothing of the Spirit's wooing, look unto Christ and be enlightened unto new life and pardon and divine reconciliation. Do not look to self. That's our problem. Do not look to self. Self cannot satisfy. Self cannot save. Self can only continue to widen the gap between you and the God of glory. Like that woman with the issue of blood. She gave everything she had to physicians who should have known how to take care of her. It says she grew worse. And I'll say that to all of us here spiritually. If you're looking to yourself to try to gain access, favor to God, you can't do it. You won't do it. Spurgeon made a, he said this, and this is another message, which I'll probably preach in a couple weeks. Introspection, retrospection, and circumspection all have their places, but not unto life. And we do that. Now we are, you know, examine ourselves, but what we do is we retrospect. We look back. Well, Martin Luther says, don't look back, you're not going that way. What did Paul say? I fix my eyes on the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't look back. And then, okay, well, about introspection? Oh, that's bad. That's really bad. Because all you're going to see is filth, depravity, degradation, and circumspection. Well, I'm trying to be, set all this aside, and look unto him and be enlightened. Be enlightened. No, we look in by act of faith. And faith is the gift of God. And this gift is called grace. Sweet grace, unmerited, unsought after, unasked for, but freely given by the sovereign act of God in the doings and dyings of Emmanuel, Jesus the Christ. And that giving, as he says in Matthew, is the Lord thanked him that he's revealed it to babes. He revealed it to babes. So it doesn't make any difference your age. It doesn't make any difference how much knowledge you have of the Scripture. Do you know your sin? Look to the Savior. Look and live. Secondly, we are to look to him. And I ask and implore us to look to him in his death. Just as never a man spake like this man, the God-man, so never a man died like this substitute. He died to enlighten those who all their lives were in darkness. I need some light. Implore God to give you light. Look unto him. He bled and died to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. He died. And that single act of horrible agony and suffering that he went through accomplished once and forever the satisfaction that God must have to be both just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Romans 3:26. And the next verse said, therefore boasting is excluded. The one beautiful thing about the gospel is it puts us in our place and it has God in his place. He's high, exalted, holy, harmless, undefiled, and us, we're low. We're below low. Who else was it ever said as he hung on Calvary's tree, "Verily, this was an innocent man." Luke 23. "Verily, this was an innocent man." His death, his trial, his persecution was not only necessary for our ultimate justification, but was itself foreordained by God the Father in order to bring many sons to glory. Look unto Jesus. A word to you who believe and yet are in trial. Remember, dear ones, Christ has went before you, suffered, endured the shame, and is now on God's right hand interceding for you and I. We don't have to go through it alone. He's there with us. And it also shall the servant be above his master in such times of affliction. Look unto him and be enlightened. Thirdly, let us look unto Christ in his resurrection. You who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, do not fear death. It is already swallowed up in complete and utter victory. You who are yet outside the grace of Christ, looking in, you too will one day grow old and enter the grave. I notice the younger folks here, it's like, that's so far. I had a prayer request for a friend of mine whose son, in his 30s, died. You too, we all have a date with the grave unless he returns. I implore you to look unto him who conquered death and lay all your cares upon him. He passed over Jordan. He led captivity captive. He never did slip up or fail in his resurrection glory. His life, his death, his resurrection. It's all about how sovereign, supreme, and successful our Lord was over sin, death, and hell. And the thing was also foretold by the prophets of old that it was to be so. It's no fable. I know, you know, your classmates at school, oh, that's just, you know, you go to church, what, you know, you listen to. No, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. Look unto Christ and be ye saved. Look unto Christ and be lightened. It's not a fable. Things in this book are not fables. They're no allegory. They're not a myth. But these are rock solid, sure foundational truths as it is in the person of God's own Son. If we don't have the scriptures to go by, we, as the scripture says, we are of all men most miserable. Look unto him and be enlightened and encouraged and comforted. Lastly, let us look unto our Savior because he's coming back. And I know since it says it in the scripture, since the world began, they say he's coming back, he's coming back. We know he's coming back. Whereby comfort one another with these closing thoughts and expectations. That's what I call it. It's expectation. It's not a hearsay. The Word of God guarantees we may die before then. We may not. But he's coming back. He is coming again. He does love his bride. And he will keep her and protect her because it was for her he died. He's not going to leave us, as he said, comfortless. We don't know when. I'm not going to speculate when. Nobody knows when. It is not given for us to look into the mysteries, that mystery of his return, but we know he will come. Let us then therefore assist one another and help one another and cheer each other as we see the day approaching. May we have our lamps trimmed with oil, ready and looking for his return. Those wise virgins, remember the story. And live unto him as enlightened, saved sinners. Not dabbling much in this world, unwise virgins. They were too busy worried about this and that. they were unwise because they weren't ready. They were just going about their business. They were not ready. They were not looking. They were not talking about. They were not in prayer for the return of the Lord. Sometimes when we just gather together weekly, it's just to shake us out of our worldly stupor because we can get so caught up in the world. You know, I love cell phones. Sometimes I wish they were not. You know, it's all these different things. We've got information like that. Well, I'd say a lot of it's false information. Be careful. But spending time in the Word with each other, with our children, as we gather together, let us help one another. Let's have our lamps trimmed, plenty of oil. Looking for our blessed hope. Looking unto Him always. Closing, let's turn to Revelations, the last chapter. Revelations 22 and verse 16 to the end. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Look. It's a look. Look and live. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Look unto Him and be ye saved and be enlightened. Light comes from no other place other than from Him who is light, the bright and morning star. Nathan, would you close us, please?